Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tinsley.
That would be really weird.
Mm. Wherever you are,
Tinsley's a fun name to say.
Is it?
Yes. Tinsley.
Well, there you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It is only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It is Super Bowl Sunday coming up. Man, if you're having a Super Bowl party, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Or hey, if, you know, not really chilly weather this weekend, but I mean, it's game day. So if you want to do a pot of chili, I don't think anybody's going to complain to you. One of my favorite barbecue places, Meat Church, big Texas people, right, where chili has no beans. You know, no beans and chili in Texas. They did a chili with beans video. The comments are incredible.
You're not a big bean.
I don't like beans. So, yeah, that works for me. But, like, they did a chili with beans video, and everybody's like, this is blasphemy.
I could probably do without, I think.
Yeah. They are the magical fruit, though.
So it's just
just meat and sauce.
Tomato sauce.
Yeah.
It's not tomato
even,
base.
There's not even a lot of tomato either.
It's a tomato base,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little tomato paste in there, yeah.
Maybe some Rotel or something in there. Like
some chilies, yeah.
Yeah.
Chopped up peppers and onions and just a bunch of meat. That's how they make Texas chili.
I wouldn't really know what to do with chili without being.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's kind of how we do it.
Well, whatever you want to do with beef, it's going to be delicious. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. I talked to my friends at College Corner today. They want to let you know that starting tomorrow, starting on Thursday, and all weekend long, there's going to be a massive sale, both in-store and online, up to 50% off, not just on apparel, all sorts of items. So check that out, either of the two locations. They are in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online and use the specials will still be there, collegecornerstore.com. Big, big sale. Get you ready for baseball season. If you need to get some new stuff, do it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. Valentine's Day is coming up, guys. You need to start making those plans, and a special occasion deserves a special meal, and you can get that at Restaurant Tyler. Fantastic place to go and enjoy a meal with you and your special partner, person, friend, whatever you want to call them. Your loved ones. And I'll tell you what, if you take someone into Restaurant Tyler, they might just become your loved one. They might just be like, I need to get on board here, because you obviously know what you're doing.
Especially on Valentine's.
I mean, it's 1 + 1 = 2 here, guys. If you want to have a great time and a great meal, you need to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you deserve answers quickly on your schedule. That's why you need the level of service that you can only get with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey, Robbie.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm excellent.
That's great news.
Just had a nice meal from Two Brothers.
Well, let's say we'll talk about that a little later in the show.
Yes.
Before we get too deep into the woods here, you broke a little news as far as high school sports here in this fine city.
Yes. Do you like me to talk about it?
I was going to say, if you would like to talk about it, you may.
Yeah. Jay Hobson, for Mississippi State fans, he was
one of the directors.
I guess it was Mike Leach's. He's on
Chief
Mike Leach's
staff, right?
Yeah. Well, no, he was like director of high school relations or something.
Player personnel kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, so he worked under Mike Leach, I think, for a couple years. He was at South Alabama most recently. I think he was coaching defensive backs there. He's been coaching for, you know, probably 30 years at this point, several schools around the country, just about every school you can imagine inside the state of Mississippi. Obviously, he was Alcorn State's head coach. Mm-hmm. He was Southern Miss's head coach.
Yeah.
He's
going to have connections.
Went to Ole Miss. He went to Delta State. So, yeah, he's been everywhere. But he is the new athletics director for Starkville High School.
Mm-hmm.
So, a really cool deal there. Everything is approved. He's good to go. He's now on the job at Starkville, and he is taking over their, from everything I've been told, taking over their head coaching search. That has been something that has been, you know, a bit of a process for Starkville. You know, Tony McGee, the superintendent, has done such an amazing job running that athletic department for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, every hire that he's made has been, to me, a great hire. Mm-hmm. And he's had to make a lot more than he thought he probably was going to have to make. I mean, at this point, he's had to replace a baseball coach, a softball coach, mm-hmm. football coach, boys and girls basketball,
mm-hmm.
Just about every sport you can think of. He's had to make those hires in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every, I mean, he was able to land Mark Monaghan from DeSoto Central, Anthony Carlisle, who has state championships at multiple schools for basketball. Matt Wilbanks, who's doing a really good job, went to junior college with Matt, and he's doing a great job at Starkville with the girls' basketball. They won their regular season district championship. They got a chance to win the tournament coming up this week, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the big one. This is the one of the biggest jobs in the state of Mississippi. And Chris Jones left for Hines right around New Year's, I believe it was. Might have been New Year's Day. I can't remember exactly, but that job is a big job in the state to fill. Probably right now the biggest job in the state. And based on what, you know, I'm hearing, Tyrone Shorter at Louisville was the priority, number one guy. And they basically put all their eggs in that basket. They focused 100% on trying to get Tyrone Shorter to Starkville.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you know, that was a process that took several weeks. Ultimately, Tyrone finally just said he couldn't take it. Mm. And Tyrone, very happy with his position at Louisville. And that, you know, to me, that would have been the best fit for Starkville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the type of coach that Tyrone is, who I believe is, you know, one of the best coaches in the state,
mm-hmm.
Would just be a great fit for what they have at Starkville and run that program. And it's not an easy place to coach. There's a lot of expectations there. And you're playing in a very, very tough classification. So he's a guy that you have to stay on until he says no.
Yeah.
So I don't fault them at all for that. Now, there were talks with Tony Vance. They interviewed him. He came on campus this week. He decided not to pursue that opportunity, former Hattiesburg coach. I think Tony Vance is really interested in the possibility of, you know, retiring from the state of Mississippi and doing what a lot of coaches are doing now and going elsewhere, whether that be in the state of Alabama or what. I think that's a possibility for him, and that's probably weighing his decision. And also, his son Deuce is playing in South Alabama this year. He might want to have his weekends free.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard when you're a head football coach to go see your kid play on Saturday after you've been playing Friday night.
Yeah.
So that could play into it as well. But
we'll see where it goes.
Either way, kind of back to square one for Starkville, and they're having to reevaluate. But Jay Hobson is now taking over that process, and he's the one that's going to make this hire.
Okay.
I figure there's a lot of people in this fan base that are interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it'd be nice to give a little update.
Yeah, why not? All right. Well, that's the only sports we know we're going to have today. Maybe there's some in the rumblings. I don't know for sure. We'll find out in just a few minutes. But as you know, the rumblings are brought to you by our good friends over at Paul Davis Restoration. Guys, when you have, you know, a disaster, when you have fire, when you have storm damage, you know, never mind the frustration of not being able to be in your home and all that damage, dealing with the insurance company can be a huge issue for you as well. Well, you don't have to worry about that with Paul Davis Restoration. They handle all that for you. They take care of the insurance side of things. They get your claim processed fast. They get everything taken care of, and then they get to putting you back in your home better than ever before. So when you have any kind of damage to your house, water, fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, Give Paul Davis Golden Triangle a call if you're in the Golden Triangle or if you're in Tupelo. 662-769-7285. Let Paul Davis bring your property back to life. All right. It is Rumblings Day. Let's just jump right into them here. And our first question comes to us from Matthew Watkins. We're already into the wrestling, but that's fine by us. When I saw that Cena made it to the final two of the Rumble, my 10-year-old self came out. What is a wrestling/sports moment where your childhood self came out? I'm not going to say childhood because I was in college when this happened, but you and I, when we were at Dynamite and Sting came down out of the rafters,
yes,
that was, I was just like, oh my God, I never thought I'd get to see this in my life.
I never got to experience it live.
Yeah, I had once before.
Yeah, because when I went to see WCW Nitro, he was in the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
So I never got to see Crow Sting coming out of the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to be able to do that at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
Propel down... from the rafter, I'm taking Shane Foster's jersey with me.
Yeah.
Mine was at WrestleMania in Dallas when Stone Cold's music hit.
Ah, that's a good one, yeah.
I guess probably the first time would be WrestleMania in New Orleans, mm-hmm. first time I ever heard the glass break live.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, there was something different about that one in Dallas. And, you know, seeing him come out to that, like, I just had chills. And also Undertaker, seeing his entrance for the first time was just surreal at that WrestleMania in New Orleans as well. So it's just, you know, it brings out a lot of memories for you as a, you know, when you were a kid watching that stuff, finally getting able to see it. I mean, there's something different about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you had to, would you rather take one of those ladder spots or the spear Bron Breakker hit on Speed? I'm taking the spear. I'm not coming off the ladder.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of whiplash involved in the spear, but at least you have a soft landing.
Yeah, I'm not falling onto a ladder. I'm not taking
the Alabama slam, you know, something that Hardcore Holly would have been
really proud of.
That looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
And there's not really a way to fake getting slammed like that into a ladder.
No, there's not. But that's why I wouldn't do it. I have never been able to get into AEW, but the Tony Storm stuff intrigued me. Can you quickly explain the difference between Tony Storm and Timeless Tony Storm? So she was Tony Storm when she got to AEW, and then she kind of had like a break with reality.
And her that character is like a Motley Crue type. Like,
yeah,
she's the 80s rocker.
She's a rocker.
She's got the, like, yeah, Nikki
yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
I guess Tommy Lee did that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah, she's a rock girl.
Yeah.
But then she became, like, she began.
Her music's kind of like Barracuda.
Yes.
Doesn't it sound like that?
Very much so. Then when she becomes Timeless Toni Storm, she's like, she thinks she's like a 1920s actress.
Yes.
And I got to be honest with you. Some of the best character work in wrestling happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was really, really good. Has the, you know, the, she takes Mariah May under her wing, then Mariah May turns on her, they have a match, and she wins. Mariah May wins. So Tony goes away for a little while, and when she comes back as Tony Storm, and she had, acting like she had no memory of anything. She was like, I'm just a rookie here. This is my first time in AEW, and everybody's like, what the hell's going on? And that built up to her winning a match against Mariah May in Australia, where Tony Storm is from. People who don't listen to watch wrestling have got to be like, what the? So,
well, this is a good way to explain one of the storylines.
So they have a face to face, and Tony's like, "Oh, Mariah, you're my idol. You're the champion. That's what I want to be." And Mariah attacks her, and then Tony reveals that she'd just been acting like Tony Storm, and she was Timeless Tony Storm the whole time. And I thought it was fantastic.
That's, I kind of wish it would have been the other way around, and she would have attacked Mariah May.
Yeah. Well, I see why they did it that way, though. So,
but that's
the best story in AEW.
If I can remember right, she started kind of developing that character after she left the Outcast.
Yeah, with Saraya and Ruby
Riott. She basically like got away from them and went crazy.
Yeah,
kind of.
It was fantastic.
And then Mariah came in, and Mariah wanted to be like
Tony Storm.
So she dressed up like her, all that stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, eventually she turns on Tony Storm. That's one of the few great storylines they're actually doing.
Yeah, they've
in AEW. They struggle.
Yeah.
But that one, and I give a lot of credit probably to Tony Storm on that.
Yeah. Davis Medford asks us, what do y'all think Mississippi State's basketball conference record will be at the end of the year? I think they could get to 500. I think they'll beat
9-9.
Yeah, they've got four, right? I think they'll beat LSU, Arkansas, and Texas. So that's seven. And so of the remaining games, right, at Georgia, Florida at home, at Ole Miss, Texas A&M at home, at Alabama, I think they win two of those. Okay. I think they probably win at Georgia, and they'll either win at Ole Miss or beat Texas A&M at home.
Nine wins is a four seed.
You're a four seed. You're fine.
Yeah, that's everyone in this fan base should sign up for that today if that happens.
Yeah. Patton Paris. Doctors, I'm sorry. Why are certain people idiots and tag the wrong people? That's a great question, Patton. You know, it just happens, though. You know, even the smartest person makes a mistake every now and then. Don't feel bad.
And Patton, he made a slight mistake the other day. I appreciate the fact that he's picking on himself.
There you go. It's fine.
We love you, Patton. Patton is a regular.
As he's sending us this tweet, he is listening to Thunder and Lightning. You can see it in the graphic there.
Oh, that's excellent.
Outstanding work. Doctor's office will charge you a rescheduling fee if you're very late to an appointment, but will not give you a waiting credit if you sit in their office for an hour and then in a room for an additional hour. Also, why do they ask you to arrive early? Never once have I walked in, signed in, and then went right back. I never arrive early. My appointment's at 9. I'll be there at 9, and I expect to not get back there until 9:45.
A wizard is never late.
That's right.
I've always wondered this too.
They don't know what appointments are.
We're expected, and look, I completely understand. Like, their appointments run long, mm-hmm. they get backed up. I completely understand that. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they hold us to a different standard.
It's just every time.
You never get to go in when you're supposed to be there.
You never show up at 9 and they're like, all right, come on back. It's never that way. Mm-mm. But there are plenty of times where it's like your appointment's at 9 and they don't get you back there until 9:45. And then even then, it's just like you get your weight, check your blood pressure. All right, sit here for a few minutes. And then it's another 20 minutes.
I despise going to the doctor's office.
It's just painful.
It used to be because I was just scared, but now I just...
It's just an ordeal.
I was kind of scared of the prostate exam. I'll admit that. That's the last time I've been like scared of a visit.
I hear you.
Since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
That one I was very much not looking forward to that because my dad told me what was on the way.
Yeah.
Prepared me. My dad's one of those. He's not going to mince words.
My first trip to the cardiologist, I was scared. I was
yeah.
Like, something wrong with my heart.
Yeah.
And then they've done enough work. They're like, no, there's nothing wrong with your heart. You get to decide on the 10-year plan that either the hump or Davis Wade will be leveled and State will build a new venue, which is replaced. It's got to be Davis Wade.
Yes.
I mean, the hump is good enough.
I think you can renovate the hump, make it more modern. There's more stuff they can do. Like, I think they should put ribbon boards.
You should be able to start over with Davis Wade.
Yes.
Get those upper decks gone. One bowl, chair back at the whole thing, and maybe another level in the end zones, and that's it.
And that's going to cost...
Cost a ton, but if you again, I have the choice. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm not touching the hump, man. I think it's a really unique venue. They don't make venues like that anymore.
No,
there is not a bad seat in the house unless you're sitting under an air vent.
Uh huh.
And so the only thing the hump really needs is just a little more, modernization to it. I would love to see some ribbon boards go completely around the concourse.
Yeah, you definitely need that.
Whatever you would call that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, there's some things you can do with the crowd, but the bones itself, the building, is perfectly fine.
Yeah. Drew Bruce asks, what is the best song to play in the stadium when the home team hits a home run?
I hate to say this, but it's You Dropped a Bomb on Me.
That's a good
that one. Ole Miss plays.
It's a good one.
And it's not just because Ole Miss plays it. Like that would have been my choice.
Yeah.
That to me is number one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
The Gap Band.
That's a good choice. I'm gonna go with that. John wants us to we're gonna rank some random Bulldogs. Here we go. Jacob Robson, Will Prosser, Fred Thomas, Cam Lawrence, Abdul Adu.
Oh. This is a good one.
Okay. I think Robson is number one. I mean, he's played in the MLB, hadn't he?
Make a roster with the Tigers.
SEC champion.
And his 2016 is – the year he had 2016 was really, really good.
He did two things that I don't know that I'll ever see again. He hit an inside-the-park grand slam, and he scored on a pickoff throw that got away from first. So he got all the way around. That is some craziness. I'm putting Robson one.
It's either Robson or Cam Lawrence.
Yeah, Cam Lawrence.
Cam Lawrence was really good at State.
Very good. Played in the NFL.
That might be 1A, 1B for me.
Okay. I think Fred Thomas is third. I love the Fred Thomas shooting experience.
Yeah.
And then Adu and then Prosser.
Hard to really argue.
I
wish we could give Will Prosser a little more love. His dad, mm-hmm. Dr. Prosser, is my doctor. I love Dr. Prosser.
We're going to rank Will Prosser seventh. He's too short.
He's too short?
Yeah, he's too short of, you know, like on third and eight, he always ran a six-yard route. We're going to be too short.
That's on Woody McCorvey. Yeah. I hate that.
That is, of all my football pet peeves, that's really high on the list of running a route. Look, I understand if you there's pressure and you got to check down and you didn't have any choice. But if you got time to throw and you throw the ball short of the sticks, I can't live with that.
I asked Dan Mullen one time about that. Like, is that a conscious effort, the jar, or is that on the receiver? And like it was kind of a smart aleck answer, like, you don't know what you're talking about kind mm-hmm. of thing. But, you know, they used to do that with Mullen. Like that, like State would throw a pass and be 2 yards short of the sticks. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to run a curl route,
you gotta run
or something,
beyond
the sticks.
Yeah.
You catch it, you got a first down.
Yeah.
You don't have to turn up field. It never made sense to me.
Ford Polk, are there certain stadiums that have been demolished that you should have been left, that should have been left as historical monuments? The Polo Grounds and Old Yankee Stadium. So while I don't disagree with what you're saying, you can't have, like, the Polo Grounds and Yankee Stadium, that's valuable real estate in the most expensive city in the world. There's no way you can leave that behind.
Yeah, and they left
they leave a little marker there.
Was it what was the stadium that just blew up like a few years ago? Was that in Detroit?
Tiger Stadium?
I can't remember. It just sat there for like a decade or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't – it's nice to have that so where you could, like, go in and visit it or whatever, but there's so much more that you can do with the space that those sit on. That's the problem.
I wanted to go to
– I hate that Yankee Stadium got torn down, but, like, what do you do with it?
I wanted to go to the Polo Grounds where that's where the Giants played.
Yeah.
New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
It's a housing project in Harlem now. And I was like,
really?
I'm not going to go. Like, I just didn't feel like that was a good idea.
Like, I would love to go to – Old Yankee Stadium.
Old Yankee Stadium, you're okay because it's not that far from New Yankee Stadium, but like
it's like in it's that, like,
that's like
you know,
an area
maybe
you can't put it in now.
500 yards from Yankee Stadium,
far, yeah.
I think. Yeah, I hate that, man. Like in I hate that these old stadiums just kind of fade away, but it's part of the deal. I mean, you're always thinking about progress and what you can do with space and all that.
Yeah. If a transformer dies, could it still be used as a vehicle? I say no. I don't think it has like a real engine in it. It has like a sentient thing that when you turn the key, it goes. Because if it could still be used as a vehicle, what that says is if you find it in vehicle form, you could drive it without against its will.
Well, I mean that's what makes it go.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like it turns into different things, but it's alive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that's possible.
Okay.
Because it has no.
I'm with you.
It has no. It's not. Electric or it's not gas powered.
You're not putting gas in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rank these sequels: Aliens, Terminator 2, The Dark Knight, The Empire Strikes Back, Godfather 2. What a murderer's row of movies here.
And these are all like in your
wheelhouse.
Maybe not Aliens.
Oh, I've seen Aliens. It's good,
but that's not like
it's last on this list.
I'm gonna say for you, it's gonna be The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight is my favorite movie of all time. So The Dark Knight, The Godfather 2. The Empire Strikes Back. The Empire Strikes Back is like my fifth favorite movie. And it's third on this list. Because Godfather and Godfather 1 is a movie. I'm not separating them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Empire Strikes Back is probably third or fourth for me.
So
third on this
list. You're saying Godfather 1 and 2 are you're putting them in the same?
Yeah, they're the same.
I feel like Godfather, the second Godfather.
Is better.
Is better than the first.
It is better. It absolutely is. Terminator 2.
Is The Dark Knight better than the first Batman?
It's better than Batman Begins.
Yes.
But I don't know that the Batman isn't better than The Dark Knight. I loved the Batman.
Really?
I thought it was fantastic.
You like that better than Dark Knight?
I did.
I'm shocked by that.
I think it's a better Batman movie.
Well, I agree. But I'm just shocked that you said that because you've always said Dark Knight's your favorite movie.
I love The Dark Knight. It is my favorite movie, but I think that the Batman is a better Batman movie.
The story?
The
it's more realistic.
It's a little darker. It's more about him being a detective, which they never hit on in the movie. And they did. Also, if you played the games, which I did, I played all those Arkham games,
Knight
religiously. That first scene of Gotham City, that's the best depiction of Gotham City I've ever seen. And I liked it. It has the Joker in it, but mm-hmm. not until the end. And it's just a little cameo kind of thing. Like so much of Batman is built around the Joker. That to not have to have the Riddler and a completely reimagined Riddler was fantastic.
Because the Riddler that we kind of grew up on was Jim Carrey.
Yeah, this was the darkest. Yeah. Maybe the darkest Batman villain ever.
Well, that's why I think I really love the Penguin. Is because you've got to watch it. If you think that the Batman is better than Dark Knight, you would absolutely love this.
I watched it.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I really like about it is our image of the Penguin is Danny DeVito, literally.
Well, I mean,
looking like a penguin and living with
Burgess Meredith back in the 60s. Yeah. You know,
it's a cartoon character.
Yeah,
and this makes it so much more real and shows you like the Penguin is actually like he's just a mafia, you know, regular dude.
Yeah.
So that's what I really like about it. I like the Batman, too.
I liked it. All right. Brogan Fairchild, if you go back and watch any movie in the theater for the first time, which one would it be? So there's a catch to this, right? It's got to be a movie that you've already seen in the theater. You can't just say, I can't say.
Oh, you can't go back and watch it? I can't go back and watch Star Wars?
You're right.
Okay.
It's got to be a movie you've seen, you know, because otherwise, you know, because then you're not going back and watching it for the first time. You're actually watching it for the first time in the theater.
And what can we make it more? Can we make it more modern now and watch it like in 3D or 4D?
Yeah, something like that, or IMAX. Right? Like if I could go back and watch, I watched Empire Strikes Back in the theater.
Yeah,
that would be one for sure.
Like I would like to watch something like in 4DX.
You know,
with
another
the
one I would like to watch. We're staying on this thought. The first Batman with Michael Keaton. Mm-hmm. I'd love to rewatch that.
I didn't get to watch that in theaters.
I did. Oh my God, that whole summer was just like. There's a Batman movie. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I love Michael Keaton's Batman, too.
It's great. What's something that you do that embarrasses your kids, but you think is hilarious? Literally everything.
I haven't got to this point
Literally
yet.
Everything that I do embarrasses my daughter, Emily, and I think I laugh about it all the time. The number one is when she asked me to pick her up from school, and it was like she was coming out with her classmates, so she gets in the car. And we're driving up, and she'd been talking to this boy. And I was like, is that the boy? And she's like, yes. And I saw her roll down the window. Hey, man, what's up? What's up, man?
It was Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
You did the Uncle Buck when picking up his niece.
Yeah, more or less. But, like, he looks at me. I'm like, what's going on? And she literally slid all the way down the seat trying to hide. I was like, take it easy. Talk to you later.
That's excellent.
Oh, my God. She was so embarrassed. I loved every second of that. So, there we go. Nathan Kelly, our good friend, recently bought one of those electric magnetic can openers. I haven't used one since the 90s. I forgot how satisfying it is to have such a simple task made effortless. What are some other household gadgets that provide this level of convenience? First off, I have an electric can opener I use all the time. What do you use to open your cans?
Well, we got the handheld, and I absolutely hate it.
No, get an old
I used to love like just being able to put it up there, and it just does it.
That's what I have, yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, microwaves are the number one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people realize what a culinary tool the microwave is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
That and, you know, air fryer
is the.
A little toaster oven.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using the same toaster oven since we got married.
Do you know what is a great thing that we used all the time a long time ago? We don't use it anymore. The George Foreman grill.
Yeah. That's
a great piece of equipment.
It really has gotten like
makes the best grilled cheese.
Makes a great grilled cheese. The hamburgers are good because it gets all the grease
you can
out.
You can put a steak or a piece of chicken on there.
Yeah,
it's great. That's a good.
Mine is not quite to this mm-hmm. level of convenience because you actually have to, you know, mm-hmm. walk around with it or whatever. But I have those that handheld wireless, not handheld really, but the wireless vacuum.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Dyson.
Yeah, yeah.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
I just pick it up off the charger.
There you go.
Roll around with it.
That's great.
I use it all the time.
That's a good one.
And it's so easy to clean out. It scoops up everything. Mm-hmm. I got that for Christmas 2 years ago, and I love it.
I'll tell you one we use a lot in my house. I have a cheese grater that, you know, it sucks going over the box grater.
You start getting your finger caught in it.
You put the cheese in, and then you turn the handle, and it grates the cheese for you. That's what they do with cheese.
That's what they do at some restaurants.
Yeah.
They just put the cheese block in there and do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what you do there. So, all right.
I used to love sifting flour, and like my mom would make the bread or whatever, and like putting the flour through the thing and sifting it.
There you go.
That was like straight out of like the 50s or something.
Alexandra Watson, do you think any other animals experience a fear of heights?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think if you took a tiger and put it on top of a mountain, it would be like, oh crap.
Well, you know, they're like, you look up in the tree with cats, they don't want to get down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they'll climb away from something
that's
like
used to heights. Like a billy goat, a mountain goat's gonna be like, we're good. But anything else that's not used to being on the edge of a cliff,
yeah,
it's not gonna be like, oh hey, what's this? It's gonna
If you put a dog on a tree limb, it's promise you they would be very
they'd be
upset.
Scared to death. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. So.
Birds obviously don't, but in squirrels.
Yeah. Alexander Watson, how many letters can be considered silent at some point? There's all sorts of silent letters out there.
And most of them.
Yeah.
Like you could make anything silent. You just tell people that the M's silent here.
I got another question though that's sort of like this. Why do we pronounce two G's in longevity?
Longevity.
You don't say longevity.
No, you don't.
And you don't say longevity. But there's only one G.
It doesn't make sense. Somebody came up with that. It probably
longevity.
It probably was an accident.
Yeah.
You know, and they just kept saying it. They were probably derived from some other word. And
we'll get through Rob Hathaway's questions, and we'll go to the break here. Based on the Royal Rumble results, what are your way too early predictions for the WrestleMania main events? Gunther J.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go Cody Punk.
It's going to be Charlotte Rhea in one of those.
Oh, you think
because
Charlotte's not going for Rhea, I don't think.
I think she does.
I think she goes for Tiffany Stratton, and then Rhea will go after maybe like Io Sky.
I think Nia Jax is going to go after Tiffany Stratton because she turned her back on her. They never have resolved that.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Rhea and Charlotte. The promo that they cut against each other last night was awesome.
I think we're going to get Roman versus Rollins, though. That's going to be not as a main event, but that's going to be one of the matches.
Yeah, he's out indefinitely with an injury after
that
getting beat
up. That
was amazing
about that. I was like, he double footed him. It was fantastic.
And then we got to figure out something for CM Punk.
Punk Cody Rhodes.
He wins the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So John Cena loses Elimination Chamber, and he just
that's what they're gonna build
triple threat.
No, they just Cena keeps getting close, but no cigar until he finally gets there at the end.
SummerSlam,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And then based on what we saw on Raw last night, it looks like maybe Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens attacked Sami Zayn last night.
Yeah,
they've been best friends forever.
Yeah, their match a few years ago.
On NXT?
No. It was in a WWE pay-per-view. I forget where it was, but they had an unbelievable banger match.
When Kevin Owens first came into NXT,
it was incredible.
Everybody knew that him and Sammy were best friends.
Yeah,
and he comes in immediately, turns on his best friend. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Rob Hathaway, can you please read out loud the vowel letters in Celine Dion's name? You want to do it?
Celine?
Read out the vowels in her name.
Like, wait, what?
Do you know what the vowels are?
Yeah. Like E, I. Okay, this is a trick.
Do it.
E, I, E, I, O.
There it is. E, I, E, I, O.
Oh, my God.
Celine Dion was a singer.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing that's going around. I saw it on Instagram.
It's a dad joke.
It is very much a dad joke.
Rob is cackling right now.
He probably
thought that was so funny.
It is funny.
He had a good one last night about that ad that targeted him.
Yes.
Where he was talking about, is this talking about Val Venus and what?
Too Cold Scorpio. Yeah. Last one from Rob. There's an old Marine in my neighborhood who hauls out his shop vac out to his yard with an extension cord and uses it to vacuum up sweet gum balls. Is it weird that this kind of makes me wish I had a sweet gum tree so I could do the same? That's a great idea.
My brother-in-law is ex-army,
mm-hmm.
and he is like this. Like, I think it's like the structure
mm-hmm.
and the like Marines, Army, Navy. Like, I don't know if that could be it. Like, they just, a lot of these guys, they have to be, they have to have a clean yard. My brother-in-law is like meticulous about stuff. Like the grass, like if I went out there one day and I saw him cutting the grass with scissors, it would not shock me. Like he's just over there cutting the weeds. His floors are always spotless. His counters are always spotless. The yard.
He married?
To my sister.
Oh, okay.
My brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, she's a lucky woman.
She is, but yeah. I mean, that's just how he is.
Wait, is this the Ole Miss guy?
Yeah, he's
a big Ole Miss guy. I hate him a compliment. Oh, well.
The thing about my brother-in-law is...
I like him, though. He's a good
he
guy.
Should be a Mississippi State person.
Why can't we convert him?
He just grew up an Ole Miss fan. That's how he is.
We're going to start working on this.
He's a huge...
This is our project now for the rest of the year.
He is a bigger fan of you than he is the Ole Miss guys on the show.
Come on.
And a lot of his friends are state people.
Come on.
I thought my sister would be able to convert him, but she just doesn't care.
We got to. We're going to work on this. We're going to make this our little pet project.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. We'll do one more before we go, because I want to do Brian McDowell's question. If Scott Stapp was 6 feet from the edge, why did he care how far down 6 feet was? He's 6 feet from the edge. That's a good point. He's a good distance from the edge.
I don't even know what that means.
Maybe 6 feet.
Ain't so far down.
I don't know. I'm six feet from the edge.
You know, he is very like his mind is...
Yeah, it works in interesting
I think he
way.
Was on ayahuasca or something whenever he was writing this stuff. Because I don't understand some of it. And you saw him at the concert. Like, it was like...
He goes deep.
Some of the stuff he was saying was over my head.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention. I was just like, just sing more.
After every song, he was giving an inspirational speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was part of the experience.
It was fantastic.
I don't know what... I'd never understood what that meant.
Yeah.
He's 6 feet from the edge.
And now,
but 6 feet is not so far down.
Right.
Is the cliff 6 feet tall? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Robbie and I were literally just there. Like, if you could see, I got a little Chipotle Ranch on my shirt here, which hurts because it's a white shirt. So.
It always drops the same spot.
This is the spot.
I feel like it used to be a little higher. Is that because your gut went down?
Maybe I got a little less gut, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. But that's good news.
That's great news, yeah.
But eventually, it's going to completely miss your shirt.
It's going to be right in my pants.
That's what happens with me.
I could only be so lucky. But it was $2 tacos. Tuesdays is $2 tacos, and I had three tacos, and they were delicious. And Robbie got the prime rib sandwich with the pork rinds. Also delicious. Guys, Two Brothers Smoked Meats is one of my favorite places in town for a reason. It is outstanding food, great people, great service, great location. The older brother, the exact same things I could say about them. Love going to either one of those. You need to make it part of your weekend. The next time you're in Starkville, head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business promises it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50!
That's another aggressive one. Okay. When you need technology for your business, a new copier, a new printer, a new laptop, you need to give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then they're going to take care of you not only with a great sale by, you know, the product that you're looking for, but with service after the sale. And that's what differentiates them from everybody else. Anybody can sell you a copier. Who's there for you when it breaks down? Who can get there the same day and fix your problems? Who's not going to make you a week to wait for somebody to show up? That's the difference you get with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the next game, you need to head over to Maroon & Co. My white shirt that I got Chipotle Ranch on, this came from Maroon & Co. I really like this shirt. I think I look good in it. Got the state script logo. It fits real nice. And what more can I say about it? They have the biggest and best selection in Starkville. If you're in Starkville and you want MSU gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. because nobody else has what they have. And they also, nobody else has our promo code to save you some money. Thunder 15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. You can use it in the store or online. Hit up Maroon & Co. the next time you are in Starkville. All right, Dalton Lee, our honest thoughts on the Luka AD trade. I don't recall seeing a trade this ludicrous, especially in someone's prime as a franchise cornerstone. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Luka is not in his prime. He has not hit his prime yet.
He's 25. That's what
your prime is, in like 27, 28. He's still getting there, and he's this good.
I think that's the biggest issue that people have with this trade is he's still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron right now he's been playing basketball for 20 years.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
Like, you could legit, I don't know if Luka's got to start taking better care of himself.
Yeah.
But Luka has at least another 10 years in the league.
Luka is a thick boy. There's no doubt about it. He is a thick boy.
I mean, and he's that good Eastern European cooking.
Yeah. I mean,
LeBron will tell us all about that.
He probably needs to trim up just a little bit. And, you know, the defense has got to get better. But not a whole lot of complaints from him right now. And like you said, it feels like he's got a lot of room to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a long way to go, man. If he stays healthy,
he'll be a top 10 player all time.
And it's crazy.
He is the third leading scorer in terms of points per game in NBA history.
That's amazing.
He's behind only Jordan and Kareem.
Yeah. And I don't know how that dynamic is going to work with LeBron.
But
I'm not sure.
When you have two superstars, you just figure it out. Figure it out. They're smart enough to figure it out.
LeBron is, too, at this point, like, I think he just wants to win.
Yeah.
Like, he's done. He's accomplished everything.
It's crazy to say that he can be the Robin, but he can. He absolutely can.
Like, my opinion on LeBron has changed in recent years, not just because he came to the Lakers, but just, you know.
He's still behind Kobe for me, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not the biggest LeBron fan.
Yeah, but.
But I just don't think that it's like a. I don't think it's all about him, you know.
Right.
Like, I think he does.
He does want to win.
And that's a big reason why they brought in AD.
Mm-hmm.
And AD did help them win a championship.
Yeah. And if he had stayed healthy, I think
it would have been great. But he could not stay on the court. And it's not a Zion Williamson thing, but he just couldn't stay on the court enough.
Yeah. Wade Jones, what happened to Cort Sandberg? What do you think his career would have looked like at State? I looked it up. Cort Sandberg is the running backs coach at IMG Academy right now.
Interesting, which is. He didn't get IMG. He was in somewhere else in Florida.
Yeah.
He went to Auburn after he was drafted by the Phillies.
Yeah.
He played a little bit. I think he might have got up to like single A, double A, something like that. Did not go very far. He finished his career in baseball and he went to Auburn
and played football.
To play for Gus Malzahn, I think.
Didn't ever do anything there.
Never really did anything.
I don't know. I mean, he was the next guy. He was the guy. He was on the 2013 class? I think that's right. He was in the class that Damian Williams ended up being part of.
So, he was in the class. You know, I remember State kind of scrambling.
So he would have not taken over until 2016, like when Nick Fitzgerald did. So basically, if Cort Sandberg stays at State, we don't know who Nick Fitzgerald is, probably.
Yeah. You know, and they wouldn't have gotten Damian Williams either. I don't know how that's kind of a
neither here nor
footnote,
there.
Yeah. But that I remember them like kind of scrambling. They went after Josh Dobbs, I think, in that class.
Josh Dobbs was
late.
The one.
They went after the kid that went to Fresno.
I know what you're talking about. Oh God,
what was that kid's name? He went to Fresno. It was like Josh Dobbs, that kid. And then Damian Williams just kind of came. He was committed to Southern Miss.
Yeah.
And they ended up just grabbing Damian Williams.
Zach Greenlee. What a pull, Robbie. Jeez Louise.
I remember that. Like, that was kind of their, like, there at the end, they were kind of scrambling because they didn't feel like they were going to be able to keep Cord.
Yeah.
They put all their eggs in that basket, and then baseball got real big
for
him.
I'm going to read you the top 10 rated quarterbacks in high school football in 2013.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
I love going back and doing this.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Number one, do you want to guess who it was?
2013.
It's a name you'll know.
Is the SEC?
No. Big Ten. Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, Penn State?
Yeah. Number two was Max Brown, who I think ended up at Pitt.
I think that's right. Yeah. Yep.
Bryce Ramsey at third.
I remember Bryce Ramsey.
Fourth is Mitch Trubisky. So there's your first guy to get into the NFL. Shane Morris, do you remember him at Michigan?
No.
Never did anything, but yeah. Cooper Bateman, sixth, ended up at Alabama. I don't know where he went after that. I've never heard of Cody Thomas. I don't. That's the first one I legit don't know. Remember him? He went to Oklahoma.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kevin Olsen, who went to Miami. Don't remember him at all. Asante Woolard, remember him? State recruited him a little bit. I think he visited here. He ended up at UCLA, and then I think he went to Central Florida after that. And then the number 10 is the most, I mean, for me, he had the best college career as JT Barrett.
Yeah.
So Dobbs was 11th.
Usually your best quarterbacks
there's
got to
be somebody. I mean,
your best quarterbacks in the class.
Really the best guy in this class.
Like it usually is like your three stars. Like
okay,
Pat Mahomes.
Let's just go through it here.
All those guys.
You got me. Dobbs is 11th. He had a good college career. We'll throw some. Okay, here we go. We're getting some good ones here. Jeremy Johnson, 21st. Remember him?
Yep.
Kenny Hill was 22nd.
That Auburn.
Yeah. Kenny Hill, 22nd. 23rd.
Kenny Trill.
Jared Goff.
Ooh.
Now we're talking number one pick in the draft. 25th was Malik Zaire. Remember him. Anthony Jennings from LSU, 27th. Mm-hmm. Austin Allen at Arkansas is 28th. We're still in the four stars here. Cord Sandberg is at number 32. He was the 32nd ranked quarterback that year. I'm going to go down. You know there's going to be somebody here who's going to be like, oh, my God.
Pat Mahomes wasn't highly ranked, I don't believe.
I'm sure he wasn't. Devontae Kincaid, 40th. And then Ryan Buchanan, 42nd.
Ole Miss tried to hype up.
Here's another guy they tried to recruit, John O'Korn. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Going to Houston.
Yep.
Nick Stevens. Well, I'm thinking of Nick Schuessler. Never mind. That's who I'm thinking of. Davis Webb is in the NFL right now.
Yep.
He was 48th.
Is that Texas Tech?
He went to Texas Tech, but he ended up at Cal.
Yeah.
Luke Del Rio was 57th. Goodness gracious. Some of these names. Anybody else I'm going to recognize before we get... Oh, John Franklin. Remember him from Last Chance U?
Yep.
It was signed with...
Went to EMCC, yep.
Damian Williams was 71st. 71st ranked graded quarterback. And then... Anybody else worth talking about here? I keep expecting to like scroll down and see like Pat Mahomes or something. What class was Pat Mahomes? He wouldn't have been in the class of 2013, would he?
He came in the NFL in 17...
Maybe so. Nick Mullins is 119. Great career at Southern Miss.
Ended up, you know, he's still in the league. I think
he's still in the league. I think you're right.
Let's see where Pat Mahomes was.
What class was he in?
He was class of. He was a three star. I knew he wasn't very
high. He was very highly, not very highly. Yeah. Here we go.
2014. He was the next year.
Okay.
Number 29 pro-style quarterback. That's not even accounting for dual threat.
Yeah.
In the country.
So it's just, this is just pro-style. Okay.
50th in Texas.
So here's the top 10 from that year. You ready? Top 10 pro-style quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Allen, number one. Keller Christ, who went to Stanford. I remember the name.
Yeah.
David Cornwell, I remember the name, went to Alabama. Will Greer was fourth from Florida. Clayton Thorson, remember him? Played at Northwestern?
No.
Okay. Sean White, played at Auburn?
Yep.
Yeah. Jacob Park, who played, he went to Georgia, but he never played. Brad Kaya played a lot at Miami. I remember the name there. Drew Barker from Kentucky. They were like, this is the savior. He never played.
How many times have they had a savior that was never good?
Every year since Tim Couch, basically.
Yeah.
And then number 10 was DeShone Kizer, who actually played in the NFL.
But you look at these top 10s, most of them don't even... Yeah.
Mahomes, you mentioned he was 29th. God. Mm-hmm. Is anybody between him that's like... No. Mason Rudolph was 20th. Your guy.
Lord.
Your boy.
Makes my stomach churn.
That's good stuff. I love going back and finding stuff like that. It makes me laugh every time. Jay in Baltimore. Great decision to make Neil Price the new voice of Bulldog Baseball. What sport is the most challenging to call on the radio? Which is the easiest? Would you rather be the play-by-play or the color commentator? I'll answer the last question first. I would rather be the play-by-play guy because the color commentator is supposed to be like an expert,
mm-hmm.
and there's no sport where I'm the expert. So, rather do play-by-play. I think the most challenging is probably basketball because it's so fast.
It is.
And then baseball is probably, in terms of just, you have time, right? It's such a leisurely paced game.
I've called all three,
mm-hmm.
and... Basketball is most definitely the toughest to call,
mm-hmm.
because especially if you're on TV, it's not like that because you don't have to call. Johnson passes to Smith and Smith crosses over. You don't have to do that,
right?
You it is so difficult to know who's got the ball in their hands,
yeah.
especially if you don't know the two teams extremely well.
Yeah.
Baseball is the easiest for me because I can have conversations throughout the game.
Right.
For some people, it's not. And I'm not saying I'm better than other people, but I can have conversations about things
mm-hmm.
that don't really matter to fill time. That doesn't really affect me.
Yeah.
So for me, that's the easiest. But I also enjoy football a lot too.
Yeah. You didn't see this question because they didn't tag you properly, but I can't wait to ask it because Nathan Taylor wanted to know, for me, what's it like to work alongside a fifth string worship leader? But he didn't put Robbie Falk on three. He just put Robbie Falk.
So, yeah. So
you didn't see this. I've been looking forward to asking you this all day.
Sunday, I had got asked to lead worship at church. And I had to lead it for both services. And so, I never understand why I get asked to do that. But, one of the things I said when I walked out front was, I'm the fifth string worship leader. They had to get down to the bottom of the barrel for me to get up here and lead worship.
You were like 2012 Chad Jurado.
Yeah,
like
pretty
we got,
much.
We got nobody left in the pen. Go get Falk.
Wave the white flag. We just get up there and don't get out of tune on these songs. Mm-hmm. Don't really say anything.
Yeah.
Just get us through this.
So funny.
Because we don't have time for this. Just get us through.
Yeah.
So, and I always have to, whenever I get asked to do this, I always have to do something it's not just get up there and sing. There's always something going on. So, the first time, or maybe the second or third time I did it, there was a baptism
mm-hmm.
before the service.
I've heard this story, I think.
And they're
ahead.
All right, we're going to do... We're going to have one baptism in the first service, and we're going to have two in the second. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And Nathan is actually in this story.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan's baptizing. He was at the time, he's our college minister. He's now moved on into missions. But Nathan is baptizing,
mm-hmm.
and he baptizes the person. And usually after the baptism, you pray or whatever. Well, I just wasn't thinking. I grab the mic after he baptized, and I start walking to the front of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? And a voice behind me goes, not done yet, Robbie. And Nathan was standing up there.
I bet he was dying.
And I look back around. I turn back to the crowd, and I drop my head, and I drag my feet all the way back from the front of the stage back to the choir, and they baptized one more person,
uh-huh.
and then I got up there.
Uh-huh.
The second service, they tell me, okay, we have two baptisms this service.
Right.
They added two more.
So you have four.
Three or four.
Uh-huh.
And so
you needed to get that coach.
I thought they were playing a joke on me. Are you guys doing this on purpose? My butt didn't leave the seat until I heard somebody pray.
Yeah.
And then I got up and walked out.
All right.
And then today, this time, we had the Lord's Supper, so I have to, tell the deacons to distribute the thing. And then I go to sit down. I'm looking for my cup. I don't have my cup with the cracker and the juice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that with me, so I get up and walk around looking for it. And somebody's like, I already got you a cup. It's under your seat. So I have to walk right back out and sit. I'm just awkward, man.
Nathan, I'm not Baptist myself, but if you need somebody that can actually handle his business, just give me a call. I'll come lead a worship for you. I mean, goodness.
Somebody said that. Somebody told me afterwards that I've moved up to at least fourth string.
Fourth string. All right, you're moving on up.
Fourth string is what I said about fourth string is those are the players that were picked last.
Mm-hmm.
That you come into the locker room, the seniors and the first strings, the second strings, they get to pick their size shoulder pads.
Yeah.
I get the last pick
of
the shoulder pads. So I'm the 110-pound running back that picks up an offensive lineman shoulder pads and is standing on the sideline with the extra, extra large jersey looking like an idiot. That's me.
I agree.
I know you do.
Okay. We'll make sure we're all on the same page.
Hey, at least I'm honest.
Yeah. Drunk Lebby is the name of this account. We're going to have a conversation about burner accounts in just a moment. Long-time listener, first-time Rumblings participant. If you could switch your lives with any fictional characters, who would it be and why? It's a real easy. I'd be Superman. Be Clark Kent. Got a smoking hot wife slash girlfriend,
Lois.
And you have superpowers that are unmatched. You can go any, you can fly anywhere in the world in a second.
Yeah,
you cannot be beaten in a fight.
You can. You have X-ray vision. Yeah. You have laser beams coming out of your eyeballs.
Yeah, freaking laser beams.
You can freeze things with your breath.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, you know, on this earth there is no kryptonite, so I'm good.
Are you sure?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same Earth. If you're gonna be Superman,
so Kryptonite,
you live in the same world as Superman in the comics. If you're gonna be Superman in this life,
well, that's the case.
There will be Kryptonite.
All right, well, there'll be Kryptonite, so I'll just have to keep an eye out for that.
But hopefully, nobody really knows about it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, who is our pick? Who's your fictional character? Who are you gonna be?
Of a superhero?
Oh, it says any fictional character.
I mean, I think that would probably be my pick too.
He's
immortal outside of one thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably very solid.
But do you really want to be immortal?
You're not immortal. You'll die. You go old. You grow old.
Superman didn't really grow old.
Well, because it's a comic book. They just keep it going. Like, there are some where he grew old.
I have wondered that. Like, he. Okay, so, like, he grew up to be, like, he was still aging.
Yeah.
So, we are to assume that he does eventually
get old and
die.
But you don't ever see it because they just reboot.
The powers just wear off?
No. He's not immortal. He's just a normal being. But at the same time, while he's alive, he has
powers.
Right. Yeah.
So his heart can stop beating and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, he was killed.
He can get old eventually. Yeah. So, all right. Also, who is our pick for Diamond Dogs MVP this season? I think I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Ace Reese.
It feels like a safe bet.
Yeah,
I mean, my big thing with Ace Reese is, like, I don't know what position he's going to play because
he's having some issues at third, from what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, he was listed as a DH at Houston. He played in the outfield, but it's like they just didn't really. I don't know. And then he comes here. That's a tough position to play. It's not easy to play that hot corner. And State, just for whatever reason, they cannot find a third baseman that can field and hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're either going to get a good defensive third baseman that can't hit, or a really good hitter that can't field.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I agree with something. I hate to give the Colonel the props, but he made a good point. He's like, you know, third baseman should be easy to find. It's shortstops that should be hard to find. But we've constantly had good shortstops at Mississippi State, but we can never get a good third baseman.
If they can find somebody that's a good middle infielder,
yeah, just put him at third.
That can hit.
Yeah.
Or is at least just, like, holding his own. He's not an automatic out.
Yeah.
Then if Ace Reese doesn't work out there, now Ace is, I think, going to be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where it all ends. But I would just put maybe like a Sawyer Reeves, or if Sawyer Reeves can hit, or somebody like that, or Gatlin Sanders, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
If they're hitting consistently, I would have them at third base if this doesn't work out with Ace Reeves.
Yeah. Real quick about burner accounts. Y'all are all on a one-strike policy now, would be. We had some issues the other night. Somebody put up, like, a picture of me in blackface on the Twitter.
That was very weird.
I don't need that in my life. I just don't. So if you're a burner account, you got a one-strike policy. If I don't like what you have to say, you're gone. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. So, you know, just consider it. And we move on with our lives. So,
I mean,
just think about it.
It feels like, you know, people have, like, gotten mad at us for, like, not interacting with them or whatever. But, like, you know, a couple of them have gotten, like, personal with us.
Yeah.
Some guy ended up putting my address in, like, a aerial shot of my house.
Yes.
That was just like,
I don't have time for this any longer. So,
I mean, if you're going to be like that,
we're moving on.
I mean, like, some of them, like, I'll play with. I'm done. We'll have some nice interactions. But if you're just going to be a troll and you're going to take it that far.
Yeah, if you have legit questions about Mississippi State sports, if you just want to talk, that's fine. But the first time I feel like I'm being trolled, I'm out.
And they also feel like they're, like, owed that opportunity to do
they're
that.
Not.
Like, whether you use your name or not, like, there's some stuff that's just way over the top. And like, you wouldn't do any of that, like, under your name. That's the there's a reason you have that burner account.
Right. So I'm moving on.
But the guy that did that, he ended up asking a question, found out you blocked him, and so he went to his other burner
account.
He has two burner accounts that we know, maybe more.
Yeah.
And went to his other burner account to ask a basically a condescending question.
Which I already had that account muted.
Yeah.
And so now it's blocked again. I'm moving on. So that's our new policies going forward here. All right, Kivas Wright asks two questions. Is it time to have the talk about Sam Purcell's job status?
I don't think his job's in jeopardy.
As of yet.
I just don't think that.
I don't think. Go ahead. Go with what
you're saying. I was just going to say, like, and first of all, you know, he's not performing under what he inherited. And I get that's frustrating. And I think this team and program can be so much better than this, but. You know, it's just he went to the NCAA tournament in year one, and he won two games. Last year, they beat defending national champs from LSU, and they just kind of faltered down the stretch. They had some locker room drama, all that stuff. He's on pace for a third straight 20-win season.
Yeah.
And I just don't see Mississippi State making a change after three straight 20-win seasons.
There's nothing to consider here, is that this is a non-revenue sport.
That's probably the biggest thing.
And in a world where Mississippi State's about to start paying out $20 million a year because of NIL and because of that, the idea that you're going to buy out a coach and then bring in a new coach in a sport that doesn't make you any money, it seems unlikely. My guess is Sam Purcell's probably safe as long as he continues to win 20 games a year. Simple as that.
Yeah, I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't see that being.
Yeah.
On the cards. Now this might be like the pressure cooks up next year if he doesn't get the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But he's got his first top 10 signing class coming in. This is the best class he's recruited since he's been here. There's certainly some things that he's got to do better.
Yeah.
But I just I don't think it's going to be a move.
Yeah. Also from Kivas, what's on the menu for the Super Bowl at your house? It depends on one question that I'm about to ask Robbie right here. Hey, can we record on Saturday? After the Georgia game, it's a late game. It's 5 o'clock, so we record around 7:30 or so. Can we do that? That way we have Super Bowl Sunday. You don't have to worry about anything.
I guess we can.
Okay,
I've got father daughter dance. I'm not really sure when that ends, but maybe after that, probably. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So then the answer to your question is I would have been thinking about what I wanted to cook, and then my guy Chud's Barbecue, Bradley Robinson. Put up a thing today, buffalo chicken taquitos. I think I'm going to make those.
I love taquitos. That actually sounds delicious.
Like taquito stuffed with buffalo chicken dip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would work.
I think I'm going to do that. And I think I might do some, work. Like some mini Philly cheesesteaks.
That would be really good.
All right. You want to come over? You want to come watch the Super Bowl? Want to eat?
I'll see.
You decide.
I'll see.
You sit down. You decide. All right. Tyler Anderson. Brian, we had a Twitter exchange about StarCraft a few weeks ago. So this is coming
StarCraft.
From
StarCraft.
StarCraft. You know what StarCraft
right.
is?
Yeah.
Okay, I used to play the hell out of some StarCraft.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite StarCraft 1 character? Tassadar is mine. Phoenix was mine.
I never really got into it.
Okay, I love StarCraft. Phoenix was one of the greatest warriors of the Protoss, and then when he was defeated, they rescued his body and turned him into a Dragoon, and so he continued to fight even after death for the Protoss.
A dragoon.
A dragoon.
Okay. Yep. Not a dragon.
Dragoon. Dragoon. Two O's.
Okay.
Two Dragoon. Dragoon.
Okay. So
I do love the. I was a Protoss man on StarCraft. Hadn't played that game in many, many years. As Tyler, I will tell you this. After we had that conversation, you can watch people play. You know, people play games on YouTube, and like kids love to watch it.
Oh yeah.
So
that's what that speed guy does.
Yeah,
I was talking to Becky about that last night. I was like, why?
And that's even a thing where at least you're watching him live. I just went and found some old StarCraft games that somebody uploaded and just watched them.
I do that every now and then.
I was like, it was just cool.
There's been times where I've been completely stuck, like on a video game. Like I did this on The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, you can find.
I just got stuck, and I went to YouTube, and yeah. I was like, okay,
I've done that.
I would sit around for like 30 minutes, and I'm like, I have no idea.
I've done that a couple times, like with Batman, with the Ark, with the Riddler trophies. Like
I did that on Batman too, on Arkham Knights, when you have to drive the Batmobile on top of the factory or whatever, and like pull it down. So I was like, I can't figure this out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes, like, I'll do that, and they have it all, man.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, like, we used to get those books.
Yeah, you used to have the manuals. Now you just get YouTube.
Yeah, so.
YouTube killed that industry.
They did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I wish that I had I was good enough to do something like that YouTube or Twitch.
Make money, yeah.
These people have millions of subscribers.
Yeah.
Are making a living doing just this. And you go watch some of their videos, and, like, they're not entertaining, really. What's the deal?
Yeah.
And I've thought about doing those reaction videos.
Yeah.
Where you just listen to a song live.
Yeah.
And you react to it.
Yes.
And after it, you talk about the song. Because I think I could do that.
It's better when it's like you've never heard the song before. Yes. That would be tough for you.
Yeah, it would be, but there's a lot of new bands that I hear from YouTube, and I go listen to, like, reactions of them. I feel like I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm just not very good at, like, the production
thing. That's the other issue. Sidelines Hail State. What would be the worst way to pronounce Hail State or any other Mississippi State phrase that would be as cringe as Liam Cohen's Duval during his intro presser? You've seen this?
Did you see the tweet that T-Bob put out of that, where it's like, his eyebrows perfectly, like, one of them went this way on both Duval. One of them went up, one of them, and the other.
I gotta look at that. I'll find it.
It was insane.
The worst way to say Hail State. Hail
State.
That's very Neil Price-ish.
That's not the worst way.
I don't know.
Hail State. Hail State, y'all.
I can't even think of how to say it. Yeah.
We got
a whole thread here from Hail State Five Ever. Okay. I'm planning to go to a baseball game with friends.
It's five.
Five ever.
Okay.
I'm planning on going to a baseball game with friends and their infant child. So I looked up the rule for child tickets and was shocked to see I had to buy a ticket for a baby. Even Disney World will let kids 2 and under in for free. I know the athletic director has to find money wherever it can, and with the new cost to field all the university teams, fans will foot the bill. It's just a little weird to me. Regardless, I'm buying the baby a ticket because everyone needs to experience the dude at least once in their lifetime. All that to say, where should I take my friends to eat?
He just wanted to rant.
I read this. Just wanted to rant. Other than Restaurant Tyler or either the Brother locations, those are already on the list. Thanks.
He just wanted to rant.
I mean, they've been doing the whole baby, everybody needs a ticket thing for like a decade.
Forever.
It's not an NIL thing. Three other places. Boardtown, the Camp House, Obie's?
Yes.
All right, there you go. I'll give one more because every state fan knows
that. Everybody goes to Obie's.
Yeah. Boardtown, Camp House. I'll give you a new one. I went to Whiskey Ranch and ate dinner there. I thought it was really, really good.
I've got to get over there.
We'll go the next time we go out to eat.
Yeah, please remember that because I keep forgetting it's there.
It's really good. It's really good. That's three other than our sponsors. There you go. Brooks Taylor, where is Coach Can now? I knew he had a couple years at a Louisiana high school, and he was fired as well. He's a scout now for the Dodgers.
He has just got hired by the Dodgers to be a scout.
Yeah.
And I think he's actually doing, like, I think he might coach a little bit in spring training or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of both.
Brooks.
That's going to be awkward if he comes to Duty Noble as a scout.
Yeah. Imagine if we're just going through the – you and I are just going through the concourse, and he passes someone and be like, what the
– yeah. I mean, man.
Another one from Brooks. Why wasn't Gary Henderson hired? With what he had and did, you would have thought he would have gotten the nod. I think Cohen just wanted to get his own guy and get somebody who had been a head coach and could take over. Gary Henderson had not been great at Kentucky when he took over for Cohen.
I actually thought that was a very wise decision by John Cohen.
Yeah.
Because
you could have easily
that would have been an easy hire.
Yeah, and nobody would have been mad.
But the issue there is, like, you're just kind of riding the hot hand. Like, I kind of feel like something tells me Texas A&M's not going to work out with this assistant.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh, I agree with you.
But I feel like
that's a big
program. That was just like, we got to – it feels like a lot of times when ADs are like, we got to hold this together.
Yeah, it doesn't
work out. And they just promote the guy. Like,
Garnett, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Had a little something there.
Now it does work out. Like
sometimes it works.
Marcus Freeman was a great one. You know, as weird as he is, Dabo Swinney, you can't argue with that hire at Clemson. So I think that it was just it. Like I said, going back to that time frame, that was my argument. Whenever me and Joel were talking about what do they do with Gary Henderson or whatever, and I felt like John was just saying, I can't just go with this guy because I know him and he's my friend and he's done a really good job. I've got to think about the overall health of the program. And ultimately, no matter what you think of Chris Simonis, that was the right call.
Yeah.
He went to Omaha the next year.
And won a national
was
title.
Probably going to go the year after that, and then he won a national title.
Yeah.
So.
Brooks Taylor, too. He has a question, and then Jason Dice has a question, and they're kind of the same. How satisfied or unsatisfied were you with the Rumble? It was kind of meh to me. And then Jason asks, after leaving the Royal Rumble, I heard some in attendance say that was the worst event they ever attended. Personally, I loved it. I was thinking, what is one event you look forward to going to, but afterwards you were really disappointed in it? I thought the Rumble itself, I thought the card was good. They only had four matches.
I thought both Rumbles good. Were great.
And I thought the Cody Rhodes match, the tag match was just okay.
That was the come down match.
Yeah.
That was the
Cody Rhodes match was great.
I thought.
So I loved it.
The tag match could have been great. I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
You know,
what's something that you went to and you were like, "That's gonna be awesome," and then it wasn't. I've always mentioned I went to see the Blair Witch Project and I was super psyched for that movie.
Oh yeah,
and I hated it.
I watched that at home. I rented that.
I watched it in the theater and it was just not great.
It was kind of freaky to me, but I was like,
I just
8 or 9. You
that's
know?
A movie where I want a payoff at the end. I wanted to see the witch for 2 seconds.
Yeah,
and I didn't get to that, and it just made me mad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, if I ever spent, like, big
money. I mean, it would probably be, like, a movie.
Yeah.
Like, event. Like,
I'm trying to think if I ever spent big money on something and then walked out. I was like, why did I do this?
Yeah. I haven't been to a big event. Yeah, and you're not a big Disney guy.
Uh-uh.
Every big event I've gone to, every concert, I've liked.
All right. We got to get out of here, so we may have to skip some questions here, but that's fine.
Do we?
We do at some point, yeah.
No.
We're an hour and 18 minutes in. Yeah.
Good. Keep it rolling.
Yeah. Winston, left pocket or right pocket for your wallet? This recently sparked a debate with my brother who called me a weirdo for being a left pocket guy. I don't use a wallet. I have a money clip. It stays in my right pocket.
I'm back pocket.
Well, that's what he's asking. Like, which pocket is, which side is it on?
Well, I figured he was asking the front.
No, he's asking about your back. Who wears a wallet in their front pocket?
A lot of people. You wear a money clip.
I don't have a wallet, though. A wallet.
It might as well be.
No, a wallet goes in your back.
It's your version of
a
wallet.
What pocket is it in?
Right.
Okay.
Right back.
There you go. Also, a bigger scam, the Publisher's Clearinghouse or the Blindside story?
So they're making a run for it.
Clearly, the Blindside. Did you see this thing, this Mandela effect thing about the Publisher's Clearinghouse?
No.
Like, we always, like, we remember Ed McMahon going to people's houses with the big check.
Yep.
Never happened.
Really?
Never happened. He never took a check to anybody, they say.
I mean, what was it?
I don't know.
Interesting.
It's a Mandela effect thing.
There's another one out there.
Oh, there's plenty of them.
About Sinbad being a genie in a movie. And Nathan Kelly brought this up, I think. I think it was Nathan Kelly, or it might have been somebody else in my group message,
mm-hmm.
about this movie where Sinbad is a genie in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is called, it's not Shazam, because that was Shaq. It's something like it.
That's Kazam.
Kazam.
That's Shaq.
All right. It was Shazam or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, never existed.
Yeah. Many people remember a movie called Shazam starring Sinbad as... I looked up famous Mandela effects. Starring Sinbad as a genie, but it doesn't exist.
I mean, my mind was blown.
So here,
this whole time, like, when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
It never happened.
Yeah, and then I look like an idiot.
Here's a few that are good. The Monopoly Man. People remember him wearing a monocle.
Monocle.
He doesn't have one.
Nope.
The Fruit of the Loom logo. Many people remember it has a cornucopia. It does not.
What is it? Just like
it's just
grapes
the fruit.
Or whatever?
It's just the fruit. This is a good one. Luke, I am your father. People remember Darth Vader saying, Luke, I am your father in Empire Strikes Back, but he actually says, no, I am your father.
Really?
He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. I knew that, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll do one more.
I think somebody just ran with that. And
yeah, we'll do one more. The Berenstain Bears. Most people remember the name as Berenstain, but it's actually Berenstain.
Baron Stein.
It's not. It's not. Pronounced. It's not Stein on the end. It's Stain, like stain.
Really?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've always.
I love Mandela effects, but they mess with your head.
It's really nuts.
Let's see here. Reed Green. There is a Reed versus Reed rivalry. Anyone named Reed, R-E-I-D, is a communist. One of my best friend's son's name is R-E-I-D, so I'm going to have to disagree with you. He's as capitalist as they come.
Okay.
With Mahomes in line to possibly win 30 straight Super Bowls, can you please rank these sports achievements? Tiger winning all four majors, or holding all four majors in golf, 2000, 2001. The Yankees winning four championships in the 90s in 5 years. Winning the Grand Slam in tennis, Nick Saban's dynasty, or Ole Miss going 9-3 with the best roster in their history? I mean, I feel like they overachieved, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if I'm really ranking them, Tigers probably won.
Because it's an individual.
Yeah. The Yankees winning 4-5. I mean, they did some stuff like that in the 30s, too. And the Yankees have done stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the last
Nick Saban's was. Up there, though, because it's just it's hard to do
it'll never
that.
Be never be done. You know? Again. Bradley Douglas, do you believe in the curse of Alan McKean? Absolutely.
I believe that 100%.
Absolutely, I do.
I've been talking about that for years,
mm-hmm.
about Mississippi State has not been able to fully get over that. They made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
and he has cursed this university. I mean, it just, there hasn't been like – I mean, I would say it's more football-related.
Yeah.
Because everything else is – not everything, but a lot of the other things. They've won SEC championships. They've done all that. You know, the only thing that we have to really speak of is the SEC West championship and number one for this football program.
All right.
We did that for just a few weeks.
I really like this from Brett Christensen. What, have you ever thought of a rule change that a sport should implement? I think football should award 2 points if a kickoff goes through the uprights.
I've always thought that, too.
Every scoring possession now has a potential 10 points. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I think there should be a four-point line.
I've always thought, like, if you could kick the ball off, because I used to do that on NCAA all the time, try to kick it through the upright.
Yeah.
If you can kick it all the way.
And think about when there's a penalty and they kick off from, like, the 50.
Yeah.
You got a real chance there. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and like you said, like, send it back to you're kicking, like, a 55-yard extra point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get 2 points on that or something.
That's
I mean,
good.
I don't know.
That's good. Hunter Boland.
I really think we should introduce more points. Like, you get points for different things.
I love Lebby's spring game last year because it just made it fun. Like,
and there's so
that,
other.
But that was fun.
What's cool about that concept mm-hmm. is there's so many other ways that you could score.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, touchdown, a field goal or touchdown.
Yeah.
There's other things you can do to get back in the game, or you can push your lead out. That would be really awesome.
All right. Hunter Boland, I'm rewatching the original Transformers cartoon series on YouTube, and I want to know who your favorite Autobot and Decepticon. For him, it's Mirage and Soundwave. Soundwave is the correct answer for the best Decepticon.
I never, like, truly got into Transformers.
See, that's more my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So,
because that was kind of before my time, the cartoon. I mean, I watched the movies, but
I love Starscream, but Soundwave is my favorite Decepticon. I love Megatron, though. It is the
lead. Yeah, I mean, Megatron's number one, and Bumblebee.
For my Autobot, no, Ironhide was my favorite Autobot. He was the number two behind Optimus Prime. He was the second in command. Loved him. Turned into a van.
I did have a Megatron.
Oh yeah,
we all had that the action figure.
Did you have Skyfire? Did you have the big?
Yes,
that was the best one.
Yeah.
So
the one of the things that I loved the most was the Millennium Falcon.
Or for Star Wars,
we used to have those.
Yeah.
And you could put like
the
pilot in or Luke or somebody.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. X Wings, TIE Fighters. I had all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, no more questions, but I just want to read these two because they're cool. Patton Paris, I'd like to offer two more honorable mentions for shocking MSU things. Now, he says the passing of Mike Leach. We talked about that, and we just didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to talk about it.
We did
but,
discuss should that be in there, but it was just kind of.
But the brawl in Hawaii could have made the list. That's a really good one.
Were you watching that game?
Yes.
I was up watching that game because it was on Christmas Eve.
What on earth is happening?
I just went on a rant on Facebook.
I bet you did.
At that time.
I'd love to find that.
I see it every Christmas Eve.
Oh, and I'm going to have to go back and find that. That's awesome.
And it's like, it's just talking about how they embarrassed Mississippi State University and all this stuff. Like, I was just going off.
You're correct.
Because I was watching that game live.
Yeah.
It was, I forget who was playing in the game, like Santa Clara or something.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And then Playballer DC, I listened to every TNL pod. The Shocky Moments pod is the best you've done. I could have listened for hours. I was at the Hand of God game, and I have unique perspective and vivid memories. Hope you'll do more greatest hit type pods. Thanks, guys. We should do some more like that. I enjoyed doing that podcast yesterday. So
summertime for sure.
Summertime for
we
sure.
We could do it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Tomorrow's show, some baseball. I think we got to get some baseball talk tomorrow. Plus, we'll start looking ahead to Mississippi State, Georgia. And who knows what else will happen between now and then. Have a great Wednesday, guys. Back with you on Thursday. For Rob Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.